So today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Bhakti Vinod Prabhu to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, you can take over the class. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving a valuable association. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, for all the valuable association. Namaste, everyone. ओमज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद. जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद. जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद. वंचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यो वचापति तानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. सो वी विल read Madhya Leela in chapter 20 and verse 61. Akshno phalam twadrsha darshanam hi tano phalam twadrsha gatra sangaha jihva phalam twadrsha kirtanam hi sudur labha bhagavata hi loke. Akshno of the eyes, excuse me, phalam, the perfect result of the action, tvadrisha, a person like you, darshanam, to see, he certainly, tano of the body, phalam, the perfection of activities, tvadrisha of a person like you, gatrasangaha, touching the body, jihva phalam, the perfection of the tongue, tvadrsha, a person like you, kirtanam, glorifying, he certainly, sudurlabha, very rare, bhagavata, pure devotees of the Lord, he certainly, loke, in this world. So Mahaprabhu is saying these words to Sanatana Goswami. My dear Vaishnava, seeing a person like you is the perfection of one's eyesight. Touching your lotus feet is the perfection of the sense of touch. And glorifying your good qualities is the tongue's real activity. For in the material world, it is very difficult to find a pure devotee of the Lord. So the first few words that Mahaprabhu says, and this is actually, Mahaprabhu, as we know, he's also called Bhaktavatar, devotional incarnation of the Lord. And that is also from Chaitanya Charitamrita that we come to know that. The inner secrets of Mahaprabhu's pastimes were not known to many. Until the advent of Kaviraj, Krishnadas Kaviraj. Because all the other works were in very tough Sanskrit. One has to know so much Vyakarana, so much of the Vedangas to really understand even two lines of them. But Chaitanya Charitamrita, the inner secrets were revealed to the masses. And in that, it is stated about Bhakta Avatar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very hard to find in the scriptures. There are only clues given, but again, clues can be interpreted and misunderstood as well. So it said, Panchatattvaatmakam Krishnam, భక్తరూప స్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తసప్తికం. సో హీ ఆఫర్స్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ కవిరాజ గోస్వామి ఆఫర్స్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ అంటు కృష్ణ పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హూ హ్యాస్ ద హూ ఇస్ నాట్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ హిస్ ఫైవ్ ఫీచర్స్ యాజ్ ద భక్త ఎక్స్పాన్షన్ ఆఫ్ అ భక్త భక్త అవతార్ అండ్ నోన్ యాజ్ భక్త మీన్ ఫేమస్లీ నోన్ యాజ్ భక్త అండ్ ఇస్ భక్త శక్తి నమామి భక్త శక్తికం. సో హీస్ ఆఫరింగ్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ టు ఆల్ ది. సో వై మహాప్రభు ఇస్ బికాస్ మహాప్రభు ఇస్ భక్త అవతార్ ఇట్ ఇస్ సో అమేజింగ్ దట్ ద యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆఫ్ మహాప్రభు ద మూడ్ దట్ మహాప్రభు ఇస్ షోయింగ్ హియర్ ఇస్ ద మూడ్ ఆఫ్ డివోటీ అండ్ whenever we read these types of verses that talk about you know how the various senses are employed you know in service of the Lord, how one's senses should be employed in the service of the Lord, then the great actions of devotees of the past comes to mind. And you know, one great devotee who used all the senses like this, just like how Mahaprabhu is saying, the perfection of eyesight, perfection of the sense of touch, perfection of the tongue, all those things. The great devotee who comes to the mind of all the Vaishnavas in the world is Ambarish Maharaj. And whatever Ambarish Maharaja did, there's a big talk about Gopi Bhava, Manjari Bhava and all those things. But all those things are all just a fruit. But many people don't want to talk about how to use the senses. So how to use the senses in the service of the Lord. But there's a lot of talk of Gopi Bhav, Manjari Bhav, this Bhav, that Bhav. But devotees like Ambarish Maharaj, they are showing how one can, what one should do in order to produce that prema in the heart, or the bhava in the heart. So these are the actions that are meant to be done by the devotees, sadhakas. And these actions also become the lifestyle of the perfected devotees as well. The perfected devotees also do these type of actions. And also the devotees who are striving for perfection in bhakti, they are also doing these actions. So an example is given where the king, before we go into this, one thing, so many things that we see in the Vedic culture, which is basically the culture of the scriptures, the culture of all the pastimes in scriptures. Some of the things may look like, exercising too much power and control and all those things. But all those things are, they all have a purpose, because they all mold a person's mind and desires in such a way that one remains obedient to authority. For example, everyone has an authority of their guru. And then so many authorities towards elders, senior persons. So there's not, it doesn't look like a free world in the scriptures. It looks like, as it's often criticized, oppressed and suppressed. But actually all of those really mold a person's mind in developing the culture of surrender and obedience. Because, it's easy to read the Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Saranam Vraja. The word surrender, all those things are easy to read. But until one has lived such a lifestyle, then even the meaning of surrender cannot be understood. Just like how the meaning of love cannot be understood. In the modern days, it's very hard to understand what love means. It's very misunderstood. So in the same way, this culture is so... It molds the mind. Of course, now we don't have that experience, but we can get the experience of that culture through the scriptures. That's why these scriptures are there. So the analogy is given about the king. The king has his absolute power. He has his full freedom and sovereignty for safeguarding dharma. So just as the king, he engages all the servants. He has so many servants in the kingdom. So all the servants are engaged in the service of the king. So basically the king is delegating all the servants. So Ambarish Maharaj, it is said that he delegated, he engaged all his mind and senses. Just like the servants of the king, Ambarish Maharaja was the king of his mind and senses. And wherever he would engage in those places his mind and sense would go. So since this mind and senses of Ambarish Maharaj would take his order on their heads and then follow. So this type of concept is, this type of culture is missing now. It's all free world and independence. That's why it's somewhat hard to take up to devotion and hard to progress in devotion after taking up. it's not impossible, but it's hard, let's be honest. So this Ambarish Maharaj, he did like that. So a person can conquer the world and become a king and all those things, but he's really not successful. He or she is really not successful until they have conquered their mind and senses.
वो टेलीफोन पे कथा सुन रही है बताओ.
Okay, so many devotees relish these Bhagavatam pastimes and verses describing Ambarish Maharaj, and especially those who are well versed in Sanskrit, they take pleasure in singing these verses and chanting these verses because they can grasp the meaning. But even if you don't understand the meaning, these words are so potent that they can influence us, because after all, these words are coming from Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. So I'll just quickly read those verses from Bhagavatam 9th canto that talks about the activities of Ambarish Maharaj, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being a bhakta avatar, is showing such moods. He's explaining those moods now. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayor vachamsi vaikunta gunanu varnane. See, gunanu varnane, one who describing his qualities. Vachamsi, vacha, the words should describe the qualities of that vaikunta guna. Vaikunta gunanu varnane, it's so beautiful. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayor, mind is always engaged in Krishna's pada. Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane Karo Harer Mandira Marjana Dishu Shrutim Chakra Rachita Sat Kato Daye Mukunda Linga Laya Darshane Dhisho Tad Britya Ghatra Sparshenga Sangamam Granam Chatat Pada Saroja Saurabhe Srimad Tulasya Rasanam Tadat Pite Pado Hare Shetra Padanu Sarpane Shiro Rishikesha Pada Divandane Kamam Chadasye Natukama Kamyaya Yatottama Shloka Janashaya Rati. See, the last word ends with Rati. So many of these elements of many of these descriptions written in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, like the status of devotion, like Rati, all those words are actually in Bhagavatam. Each and every word that they talk about, Asakti, Rati, the Bhavapam, everything is there in Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is like the raw material for all those books written by Goswamis, Acharyas, all the way up to current Acharyas in the world, Srila Prabhupada, everyone. So it is described as Ambarish Maharaja, he engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. So his mind was engaged in meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. I mean, he was a king. He was doing all activities of the king. According to Niti Shastra, they had to act also. You can't just keep engaging the mind and thinking of Krishna. But, but he still did it. That's the mystery. How did they do that? How did they manage a kingdom and he do all these things? That's amazing, inconceivable. He engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. And then he engaged all his both hands, in cleansing the Lord's temple. And we can see how Maharaj Pratap Rudra used to cleanse the Radhyatraka path in Puri. Then Maharaj Ambarish engaged his ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna or about the devotees. And then he engaged his ears in hearing all those excellent topics of devotees. And he didn't engage in hearing about jnana or karma. Maharaj Ambarish was hearing only about the topics of the Lord. And then the nose, the sense of smell was engaged in the smelling the fragrance of Tulsi, which was offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. And then he engaged his feet in repeatedly going to places such as Mathura and the temples of the Lord. Going to Mathura and the temples. So he engaged his feet like that. And then he engaged his eyes in seeing the forms of the Lord in the deities in the temples and also in abodes such as Mathura. And he engaged in seeing the devotees of the Lord. He engaged his sense of touch in touching the bodies and the lotus feet of the Lord's devotees. So whenever great sadhus visit the kingdom, these kings will wash their lotus feet with their own hands, wipe and give a lot of comforts to them. So this is how they worship. It's like how Krishna did that to Sudama, Dwarka. And then he engaged his tongue in tasting the Lord's prasad and describing the glories of the Lord and his devotees. So that's how he engaged his tongue. And then he engaged his head in bowing down to the Lord and the devotees. And then he engaged his desire in being the servant of the Lord, not with the desire for material enjoyment. So when Krishna says in Gita, Manmanabhava Madbhakto, Madhyajimam Namaskaro, everything, that verse is an action in Ambarish Maharaja's lifestyle. And then in the end of the verse, it says that the purpose of all this is to develop Rati. Arati, that is the last line of the verse. Yato uttama shloka janashraya rati. Purpose of all of these activities is not because of social pressure. Oh, no, everyone will think good of me. Or if I don't do this, then people won't think good of me. Not social pressure. He did everything for the purpose of developing rati. And that rati is possessed by great devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. And it's amazing rati, that this rati is without any material desire. So so this is how Ambarish Maharaj behaved. And Mahaprabhu is now taking, Mahaprabhu is taking on that mood, proof. Always we can't find a proof for verses, because as Jiva Goswami says in Tattva Sandarbha, so much of verses got lost. What we have is very few. He gives some number, like billion or something. I mean, Jiva Goswami was a genius of his time. His words have a lot of authority. He says that what we really have now is very few. Just the tip of an iceberg of the Vedas themselves. It's not that whatever scriptures we have is the complete. No, so much thing is lost. So much things were lost. And what we have is only a few. But everything is in Bhagavatam. That's what he's trying to make in Tattva Sandarbha. So we really cannot read all the scriptures and come to a conclusion. It's very hard. So therefore, he just points to one book, which is an encyclopedia in itself. But at least it's available in a complete form. So much verses got lost. So it's hard to find so many references. A lot of references that they're looking for may not be available right now. But what is available is the lifestyle of these great bhaktas, the experience that these great bhaktas had. These things don't need a proof. These things don't need a proof. So Mahaprabhu is displaying, all these modes of great bhaktas like Ambarish Maharaj. And we don't need any proof for that. It's just easily visible from his words. And then the second part of the verse talks about something really amazing. Second part of the verse says, we go back to the verse. Okay, jihva phalam tvadrsha kirtanam hi. So doing kirtan, that's the perfection of tongue. And then sudurlabha bhagavata hi loke. Sudurlabha bhagavata hi loke. So those words, sudurlabha bhagavata hi loke, is so amazing. Sudurlabha bhagavata. So bhagavatas are not many in number. They are sudurlabha. They're very rare to find. Yeah, there may be a lot of people trying to become Bhagavatas. Of course, the Bhagavata sees everyone as a Bhagavata. But let's get very objective here. To find Bhagavatas, Sudurlabha Bhagavatas in this material world is very rare. Otherwise, Mahaprabhu won't use the word Sudurlabha Bhagavata. He didn't say just Bhagavata. He says Sudurlabha Bhagavata. For the material world, in this world, it is very rare to find such a person. And that's what is said by Maharaj, said to Maharaj Parikshit by Sri Sukadeva Goswami in Bhagavatam. Every word, every book, every line, every sound is from Bhagavatam. Even the word Sudurlabha is from Bhagavatam. Of course, Bhagavata means one who follows Bhagavatam, or one who lives the lifestyle of Bhagavatam. So in Bhagavatam 6th canto, Sukadeva Goswami says to Maharaj Parikshit, he says, Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayanaha sudurlabha prasannatma kotiswapi mahamuni. Sudurlabha prasannatma. So the verse says, verse meaning is, O great sage, this is said by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami. O great sage, even millions of liberated and perfected souls are surpassed by a single person who is devoted to Lord Narayana. Such a peaceful soul is very rare, it's very hard to find. Such a peaceful soul, Prasannatma, is very rare. Sudurlabha Prasannatma. Kotiswapi Mahamuni. Out of Mahamunis who are in millions in numbers. Oh, great sage, even millions of liberated and perfected souls. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayanaha sudurlabha prasannatma kotiswapi mahamuni. So out of millions of such liberated and perfected souls, they're all surpassed in comparison to a single person who is devoted to Lord Narayana. And such a peaceful soul is very hard to find. Because all the other parts to liberation, like Yogamarg, Gyanmarg, everything, all of them have this goal of liberation, whereas only in bhakti there is no goal. There is nothing that the devotee wants to attain. All the devotee wants to do is serve the Lord. And if attaining something will help the devotee to serve the Lord, that's fine. So that is okay. But the purpose is this. So therefore, that devotee is peaceful. And so such a devotee it's very hard to find. Kotiswapi Mahamuni, Sudurlabha Prasannatma, it's very hard to find. So, whenever scriptures talk about Muktanam or perfected souls, they're spoken in different contexts. And here, perfected souls may be Jivan Mukta, people who are walking in this world who are already liberated, by this the path of Gyanmarg and Yogamarg. So, all of those millions of them, they're all surpassed by this devotee of Lord Narayana. So that's what it is mentioned here. So therefore, why a devotee is Sudurlabha? It's because, why is a devotee like Sanatana Goswami here? Mahaprabhu's saying is Sudurlabha. I hope I got the context right. Mahaprabhu looks like talking to Sanatana Goswami. So this is because bhakti is Sudurlabha. That's why devotee is Sudurlabha. Devotee is Sudurlabha because bhakti is Sudurlabha. But why bhakti is Sudurlabha? Because bhakti, as we know, bhakti has sadhana stage, bhava stage, and prema stage. And sadhana stage is technically a practicing stage. Like how someone is learning to play, someone's learning to play guitar. So they're learning all these chords, different A chord, B chord, so many things they're learning. And then someone who's playing the guitar nicely, and someone who's super good in playing the guitar. So like that, bhakti actually means presence of bhava. Presence of bhava. Bhava bhakti is the actual, actual bhakti. But sadhana bhakti is also considered bhakti because it leads to bhava bhakti. But bhava bhakti is real bhakti. And in Madhurya Kadambini, of course we cannot do justice now. We have to really take a lot of time to understand Madhurya Kadambini, especially the explanation of Sudurlabha and Madhurya Kadambini is so big. and it needs commentary after commentary after commentary to digest. So in that mother, Sri Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says that this bhava or this rati that's been spoken here, rati, it's like a blossoming flower actually, flower of the wish fulfilling tree, wish fulfilling vine of devotion, the wish yielding vine of devotion. In that there is a blossoming flower. And that is called Bhava Rati. But he goes on to say that this Bhava Bhakti, the blossoming flower called Bhava Bhakti, has this amazing luster. The luster, there is amazing luster in it that's coming from it. There is inner luster and outer luster. Inner luster and outer luster. See how much the sadhus have examined the flowers. So sometimes I feel like life is just so busy running here and there, not even stopping and looking at a flower. I feel like that personally. But these sadhus have not stilled their mind and taken the time to look at flowers, and they have such a soft heart. So in the flower of blossoming flower of Bhava Bhakti, there is this amazing inner luster and outer luster, the shine. And the reddish inner luster, that is in the luster of the blossoming flower of Bhava, is called Moksha Laghuta Krit. Moksha Laghuta Krit. So Moksha Laghuta Krit means it makes liberation, it belittles liberation. It belittles liberation. So the liberation which is so ardently strived by jnanis and yogis appear very very disgusting, very contemptible to a person who has attained Bhava. Person has attained Bhava. So Moksha Laghuta Krit, because of the reddish luster of Bhava, that makes liberation appear contemptible. So that's the inner luster of Bhava. And then what is the outer luster of Bhava, the other quality of Bhava? And that is Sudurlabha. That's what is our main topic here in the verse, Sudurlabha. The outer luster of the blossoming flower of Bhava is Sudurlabha, so rarely attained by anyone. One gets the rare wealth of Bhava only by the mercy of sadhus, Guru Sri Hari, and by doing a lot of sadhana. That's why it's called Sudurlabha. And then Srila Rupa Goswami, he actually says a bit more about this in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says this. He says that one is unable to attain prema bhakti even by doing devotion without any material attachment for a long time. It's very, of course, it can get discouraging when you read this. One is unable to attain prema bhakti even by doing devotion without any material attachment for a long time. The Lord does not give prema very easily. The Lord does not give prema very easily. That's why there are very few devotees in the Gokul. And there are so many devotees in the other parts of the spiritual world. But there are very few in Gokul. Of course, you can't do a material estimation of counts in spiritual world. It's utter waste of time. We can't use material calculation, but at least from this world we can understand these types of devotees that are described in these verses are very few in this world. It's known. And then Srila Jiva Goswami writes a commentary on this verse. And for Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu Rupa Goswami, Srila Jiva writes a commentary. And he says that the Lord does not bestow prema bhakti on a devotee. So what Jiva Goswami says is somewhat hopeful actually, because he's kind of explaining the full picture, because we need commentaries. So many things are hidden in a verse. So he says, the Lord does not bestow prema bhakti on a devotee until the longing to attain it becomes so intense. Until the longing to attain that becomes so intense. Until then he doesn't give. The Lord doesn't give. Sudurlabha. And then he goes on to say that the Lord easily gives prema. But sometimes we see some people easily get, right? Easily get it also. Especially in the history of, you know, the history of bhakti movements. You've seen for some it's easy, for some it's not easy. So the Lord easily gives prema to capable persons and not to incapable ones. So now this looks very critical. You know, what do you mean by incapable? You think I'm incapable? You think he or she is capable? One can think. But capability, he explains about capability also, what capable means. Shijiva, Shijiva Goswami, he says, capability means the thorough understanding that one has, that only bhakti to Hari can bestow auspiciousness. Because even to persons who are very well versed in Shastra and everything, still they think something else can give them auspiciousness. Even within scripture, there may be some prescription or so many things. They think all those things can give auspiciousness in my life. That can give auspiciousness in my life. So they may still think so many other things can bestow auspiciousness. Material thing can give me auspiciousness. This one thing can solve all the problems of my life. Sometimes that thought also can come to someone. This one problem in my life, if it is solved, my life will be auspicious. Though it's only, it's never like that. It always appears like that. So the capability really means, capable person means, one who has this thorough understanding, thorough conviction that's unshakable, that only Hari Bhakti can bestow all auspiciousness. Anything else cannot bestow auspiciousness in life. So one who gets this conviction, one who gets this thorough understanding is called a capable person. Shri Jiva Goswami explains. And then he also explains further that this refers obviously to attachment only to bhakti, an aloofness from all selfish, self-interested desires. Attachment only to bhakti and aloofness from all selfish desires. So now it makes sense why bhakti is sudurlabha. It is sudurlabha because the Lord is very choosy. He is very picky. It's Krishna's fault, let's be honest. If someone says, it's very difficult, bhakti is so difficult. It's difficult. It's not your fault. It's Krishna's fault. I'm just saying in a light way because Krishna is very, very picky. He's very, very choosy in it. He's very fussy in who he wants to give that. The reason is Krishna gets controlled by that. And just imagine if the Lord gets controlled by everything in the world, then that'll be total destruction, right? If the Lord, who's the supreme controller of everything, if he becomes controlled by his all other things, all the inferior energy, then that's chaos. So that's why Krishna doesn't give it to everyone. He has a reason for it. Because he becomes controlled by them. And then just imagine if everyone starts controlling God, and it's so cheap that he can easily give it to everyone easily. That becomes problematic. So Yashoda Mata can control Krishna. But imagine if everyone can control Krishna like that. It will be so chaotic. So he has his reasons. So this is Shri Jiva's explanation of Sudurlabha. And then Shri Vishwanath Chakravarti, he describes a little more in Madhurya Kadambini about Sudurlabha. He says that the bhava, one attains bhava Sudurlabha, right? It's very rare. But a single particle of bhava, what it does is it uproots all the darkness from the heart. It uproots all the darkness away from the heart. So, and then he says that the scent of this blossoming flower, the flower that we read about, inner luster, outer luster, moksha lagutakrit, and then sudurlabha, two qualities of bhava bhakti, moksha lagutakrit and sudurlabha. So that flower, the blossoming flower of bhava, the scent of that blossoming flower. Yeah, of course, there are devotees in this world with those wonderful qualities, but the scent of that, extends all the way up to the transcendental abode. And then he goes on to say that that scent actually attracts, it invites Madhusudana. So he uses the special word Madhusudana. Madhu, you know, there's this sweet thing, honey. The scent of this blossoming flower of Bhava extends up to the transcendental abode, inviting Bhagavan Madhusudana to drink the nectar, to drink the nectar from the flower. And an analogy is given of a bee. The bee becomes very mad, actually. Bee becomes very mad. I mean, Sri Vishnu Chakravarti has observed bees. How amazing. Really, we have to really watch a flower so closely in order to see bees coming. Because watching for 5 minutes in a park doesn't really help. We have to watch for a long time to see the bees coming. So he has seen all these, and he is using them to explain bhakti. So just as the bees, they become mad actually by the attractive scent of the blossoming flowers. And then by that madness, they naturally come by and they drink the nectar. And when the bees drink that nectar, they don't just like they drink it. They drink with so much intense absorption. So intense absorption. They drink it like, that's their life. That's their life's, epitome. They drink with so much absorption. So in the same way, the Lord, he becomes attracted. He becomes engulfed, attracted by the blossoming flower of Bhava existing in the heart of the devotees. Devotees like Sanatana Goswami. The Sudurlabha Bhava, in Sudurlabha Bhagavatas. The Lord becomes so much attracted by that blossoming flower in the devotee's heart. And then the Lord manifests in the devotee's heart. And then he becomes mad, just like how the bees become mad with the scent of the nectar inside the flower. Lord becomes mad. He becomes maddened. That's the adjective used here. He becomes maddened by drinking the nectar of the Bhava flower, the heart of the Vaishnava or Vaishnavi. So not only that, through Bhava, the heart of the devotee also becomes soft. Heart of the devotee also becomes soft. When the devotee is in Bhava, the devotee won't be thinking, I'm chanting 64 rounds. Many people are not doing that. They're all in Maya. So that kind of a thought will make a devotee's heart very harsh. In fact, by doing chanting, his heart is now becoming harsher than before. But the devotee with Bhava doesn't think like that. The devotee with Bhava is worried only about, like the bees, worried about the nectar and absorbing into the nectar. So through that Bhava, the heart of the devotee also, just like the bee, is maddened and totally absorbed. The devotee's heart, so absorbed with the Lord, softens in such a way that, that is able to shower the Lord's body with a lot of affection and love. So therefore, this Bhava is such a pure thing. And of course, in maybe further future verses or before, there should be an explanation there about how I think Sanatan considers himself very fallen, because in those days it's considered, one is considered an outcast if he works for the Mlecha government, the Yavana government, the Islamic government, the Muslim Mughal rule in India. If you work for them, you are considered an outcast by the Hindus. So Sanatan feeling very fallen. But because he has this Bhava, the Lord will say that, this Bhava is such a pure thing that it doesn't depend on all these qualifications such as one's birth or one's activities. And even if a person is a dog eater, so dog eater is considered lowest in the geographical, the Vedic, kingdoms, the different cultures, different communities, and dog eating, there's one community called dog eater community, and maybe tribal people. So they are considered the lowest, and even if one is a dog eater, that person becomes so worshipable by Lord Brahma. Oh, Lawgator becoming worshipable by Lord Brahma if he possesses that rare thing called Bhava. So this is what Mahaprabhu says. And Vishnu Chakravarti also says that same thing in this Madhurya Kadambani. So therefore, one's birth and one's qualifications and all this Bhava is such an amazing thing that it doesn't depend on all those things. And one becomes worshipable by Lord Brahma. Oh, now it really makes sense. Yeah, it is. Krishna cannot give that so easily. Because if Krishna gives it so easily to incapable and everyone and anyone, of course, holy name is distributed to everyone. But again, that doesn't guarantee that everyone is going to make use of it. Yeah, it's dispensed to everyone and it benefits everyone. But again, the real core benefit, that's totally different. And so this, it's not easily given, then it'll be like disrespecting Lord Brahma. Because then any ordinary unqualified person, if he becomes so worshipable by Lord Brahma, then it's not fair, right? It's not fair. And Krishna gets controlled, and then all the world has some order. Lord Brahma, they have to maintain some order in the world, and you can't just make everything topsy-turvy. So it's very rare, Sudarlabha. So therefore, Sanatana Goswami is described in this verse as Sudarlabha Bhagavata. There are two types of thought process one can get by reading all these things. One is, oh my goodness, this devotion is too much. I just cannot make it. Way far from it. Let me just forget this path and then take shelter of some other path. And then one can get very stressed out and then think that these results are not possible. So that's one way of thinking. It's a destructive way of thinking. It's not helpful to think like that. But there's a progressive way of thinking also. So instead of a very self-centered way of thinking, what I will do. That's more of a self-centered way of thinking. A much better progressive way of thinking is, such devotees are so sudurlabha. They are so amazing. So let me take shelter. Let me take refuge in such devotees who are living in this world, who have this wealth of bhava and prema. And so let me take shelter of such sudurlabha bhagavatas. And then focus on the process. Focus on the process, not on the result so much. That's a very good advice given for meditators. One should focus on the process more than the siddhis that one can attain by meditating. Of course, we don't do this now. Maybe in Himalayas, we can see some yogis doing it. So they're very practical people, actually. In the cold, they are able to do some physical activity. So we can learn from them also. So they'll focus on the process very intensely. And results will come automatically. The siddhis, that's... If you focus on the siddhis, one can get discouraged and very stressful. So one should focus on the process, what one does every day. That's adding value to this kind of a result. So the result will take care of itself and one will feel very less stressful. And that's why devotee is peaceful. Sudurlabha prasannatma. Why? Because there is no goal for a devotee. There is no goal. There is no goal that, on so-and-so day, after so-and-so months, I want to go to Vaikuntha. That's not a goal for a devotee of Mahaprabhu. No way. Devotee of Mahaprabhu is Sudurlabha prasannatma. I just want to keep taking that. They are like, go to another extreme by saying, Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwale Bhavatal Bhakti Rahitu Kitwai. I just want to serve. I just want to be a servant of you, my Lord. Birth after birth. There's nothing I want. So peaceful. They're focusing on the process. They're not focusing on the result and getting stressed out. So all these descriptions of how rare and amazing this bhava is are descriptions about, let's think that these descriptions are for the devotees who have possessed that. And by taking shelter of them, that's the action item that people can have if they feel discouraged by these words. Of course, not everyone will be discouraged because some may already be in the platform. Who are we to judge? So that's so beautiful. Yeah, I'll stop here. So I'll leave. what 5 minutes. Yeah, if you have anything to add, please go ahead. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam. What an intense class. It was very, very beautiful. And generally when you come, you say so many things. So I end up noting it down. So thank you so much. It was extremely beautiful. Very, very, very nice class. So I like many things you were talking about. First of all, you were talking about how these acharyas like Sanatan Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they even stand and watch a flower and a bee and take inspiration from that. That is so true. I mean, in our daily lives, we don't even think about anything, right? Like, they say, oh, Krishna's color is like the cloud. But how much time do we really take to stare at the cloud and think about Krishna? No, we don't. So I was just thinking of that, how, I mean, realization comes, it's actually, it works at a very different level and how these acharyas were. And then talking about Srimad Bhagavatam, where you were talking about this rati and other words that come in Nectar of Devotion that are actually derived from Srimad Bhagavatam. That is another thing. Actually, I was just thinking, have I ever noticed such things in Bhagavatam? No. So these acharyas are so beautiful, I mean, in their realizations. And then there's a very nice statement you made about drinking the heart of a devotee who's in bhav, the Lord becomes mad and the devotee's heart becomes soft. Oh, that was so beautiful. And then finally, the final instruction was like, take refuge of devotees and Bhagavatas and focus on the process and not the result. I think that was the highlight of the entire class. Prabhu, thank you so much. I felt very enlightened. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. It's very... it's a lot of learning experience for me also while referring to the acharya's descriptions.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you again for a very, very beautiful class. I want to agree with Preeti Vilasini Mataji, and I'm so glad that you made that last comment, because that's the exact thought that was in my head when you were saying, it's so rare, this is too difficult. And I was just thinking, that thought just kind of crossed my mind, and then when you said, just think about the process, don't think about that, I thought, okay, that's a good note to end on. So thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much Prabhuji. As Mataji says, saying like everything was so beautiful, and I like the most that devotees don't have any goal in their life. But I was thinking like sometimes we have some material goals, like we have to finish this, but we should not have any material as well as a spiritual goal. So that is so important, because so that we can develop, that we can serve Krishna eternally more and more, doesn't matter whether here or in the spiritual world. So thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji. Amazing.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
Oh, very nice. You explained everything. It is. Thank you. The surrender is also difficult. But anyway, whatever we can do, however much we can do, it's very explaining in life. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, King will end here.
Thank you so much again, Prabhu. Thank you all for joining. And thanks to all the devotees. We'll end the call.